from Size New Zealand Nightmare. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, why are people getting so angry about cycling? It's become a political battleground. Should we care? And what can we do about it?
Plus, this very neat little bit of tech is launching soon. Okay. Be eating his ear.
Oh, dude.
You're more likely to die being struck by lightning or killed by a cow. Basically, the dude is wearing some green shorts, which are giving away the location of his junk.
This is really messed up. Like, really messed up.
This could have a greater impact than ceasing all domestic aviation emissions. So big up the cargo
bike.
Yeah.
Tuscany. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that Tadej Pogačar continues to astound, putting another 3 minutes into his rivals on one stage, the hardest of the Giro d'Italia, which happened at the weekend.
Despite having already climbed 5,000 metres, he set the fastest time ever up the final climb, a record that has held for nearly 20 years. Mind-blowing.
It is, isn't it? Now, I also learned last week what the meaning of pain is, having taken on not just one, but two gladiators in 2 days. Giant, you'll have seen on Saturday's video, but I also got put through my paces by this guy, Zach George, a.k.a. Steel, and it broke me.
That's so weird, Si. With your physique, I'd have thought you'd have been fine.
Well, exactly, yeah. Now, we also learned that Aerotech has gone too far. A major British newspaper ran with a headline last week that cyclists in the UK are turning roads into a death trap by clocking 52 miles an hour in a 20 miles per hour zone on Strava.
Which, let's face it, wouldn't be possible without Aerosox.
No, or when you think about it, isn't remotely possible at all. And the journalists responsible, Eleanor Stafel and Ben Butcher, are clearly as thick as two short planks.
Well, enough intelligence to look at Strava for a story, just not enough intelligence to actually interpret it. But they wouldn't be the first. Remember when Tom Pidcock thought he broke the 5K world record running?
Yes, sorry, I do remember that. I mean, I think I also got exceedingly excited by Tom Pidcock doing that. But anyway, back to that article though. It's been one of quite a few here in the UK this week, following a new law that's being implemented that means that cyclists would be able to be charged with causing death by dangerous cycling.
The same as if we were driving a car or riding a motorbike. On the face of it, that does seem fair, right?
Yeah.
People should be accountable for their actions. However, when I heard the news, something didn't feel right, and other people clearly feel the same.
Yes, I do as well. The issue is that while there have been one or two tragic incidents over the last few years, they are fortunately rare.
As former Olympic medalist Chris Borman said, you're more likely to die being struck by lightning or killed by a cow than a cyclist.
See? I told you those rats, I guess.
Well, this is, you know, the fact is, Si, this death by cowing is highly unlikely too. It's not something that normal people need to worry about.
Normal people? What are you trying to say?
Well, I just, you know, your fear of cows is slightly unhealthy. But anyway, this new law is not about saving lives or justice. It's about politics.
Well, yeah. On that, we agree. On cows, we disagree. But no, we are not going to go into the UK political situation here, only to say that it's clear that cycling has become something which gets some people really, really angry. Angry enough that some politicians hope will actually motivate those people to vote in a certain way.
The important thing and scary thing is that it's not just isolated to here in the UK either. The GCN website ran a story last week about the city council in Zaragoza in Spain, who are looking to mandate that any cyclist of any age will need to have insurance to be able to ride a bike and to have to carry it at all times, because police will have the power to stop you and check for it.
This is really messed up. Like, really messed up. Overwhelmingly, the majority of people realise that cycling is a good thing, right? I mean, for our mental health, for our physical health, for reducing air pollution, for lowering carbon emissions, for lowering noise pollution, for saving money, and generally enjoying life. That's seven off the bat. And in my experience as well, and I think probably yours too, interactions with motorists are genuinely like overwhelmingly positive. Just this morning, literally just this morning, I let a lorry overtake me and he replied with a friendly toot. And for one moment, all was right with the world.
But why is cycling becoming a political issue? Why does cycling make people angry? And can we do anything to prevent it?
Well, so I actually read a really interesting piece, right, on this exact subject by a guy called Siegfried Mortkowitz. So in it, he points out that cycling has actually, since its very invention almost, been politicised, which is something that I'd either not known or completely forgotten about. But early on, it was a symbol of feminism. It's also been associated with the rise and mobility of working classes. The early Communist Party in China, and even now in present-day India, it's the symbol of the Samajwadi Party as well.
Well, every day's a school day, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah.
What I don't get, though, is that when you look at it, cycling should appeal to both sides of the political spectrum. It's the ultimate right-wing pursuit, libertarian, individual. It's not impacting others. But then also on the left, it fits in with collectivism and helping contribute to a greater good.
Yep, but we would say that, wouldn't we?
We would.
Because we really like cycling. Yeah. I think the issue is that debate, because actually you're completely right there, I think, but it's been hijacked, hasn't it? And I think that's because, and I say I think, I mean, this is just my opinion on it. In order to promote and encourage cycling, sometimes motorists can feel hindered, like in the same way that some men feel threatened by feminism, don't they? It's like, do you know what I mean? It's not impinging on our like life at all, but just the mere mention of it makes people feel threatened and angry. And I think it's the exact same here. It's the perception is that bikes are seen to somehow be benefiting at the expense of motorists.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. And drivers are finding that things are getting tougher, right? It's more expensive for a start, both in terms of fuel, insurance, as well as cars themselves. And because there are more cars than ever on the roads, congestion is getting worse. And because of this, schemes are being put in place to try to alleviate traffic jams and the impact of it. So it wouldn't take much to convince someone that their freedom is being curtailed.
That's right. And who's to blame? Cyclists! No, I mean, 100% is self-inflicted, right? Well, insurance and petrol costs aren't self-inflicted. But you know what I mean? The congestion side of things is self-inflicted. But in looking for a scapegoat, they basically look at us, don't they?
Yeah.
Now, I suppose the next question then is, what do we as cyclists do about it?
Well, I think in the first instance, cycle more. The more people cycling, the less we will be perceived as a minority group. Secondly, as we talk about time and time again, engage with the local authorities. It's striking how few people do that. So making your voice heard has a disproportionately large effect.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think the other thing that I think is also to try and not worry about this, right? And I know that's hard to do. It's clearly something to be aware of right now, which is why we're talking about it, both at the coffee machine this morning and now with you guys as well. But I think, like, fighting this is the wrong mentality to have, right? Personally, and this is just my personal view, I can't see a better way forward than trying to lead by example, maybe, by being friendly, being courteous, and, of course, sticking to the rules as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the same time, you have to stick up for yourself as well and make your voice heard, because otherwise, I do think those who aren't on the side of the cyclists will try and sweep these changes through, which aren't.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think, you know, engaging with your local authority or the national government or whatever it is, I mean, vote, for goodness sake, however you want to vote, vote, but just do it. And be aware of the implications of it. But no, I do agree. Like, we shouldn't be taking this line down. But I feel like being an angry cyclist is not the answer to people being angry with cyclists. You know,
like, for sure.
I feel like trying. Maybe this is wishful thinking, but like de-escalating it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like someone gets a bit angry with you, and instead of being angry back, you're just like, yeah, whatever. Just. Do you think that's possible? Do you think I'm just being an idiot?
I hope it's possible. It's maybe naive hope, though. Sometimes it's naive hope, because there's still a lot of anger out there. There is a lot of anger, and there's a lot of, dare I say, ignorance. And it's also quite hard to change people's opinions. So you can take that approach, but at the end of the day, I think there needs to be more infrastructure to protect cyclists when they're out on their bike, and to be able to make it a fairer kind of solution, rather than everyone fighting and arguing over whose space in the road is whose.
I mean, I get that, but as road cyclists, a lot of the roads that we want to ride on, you can't put infrastructure on. So perhaps you could cure a lot of the issues with city cycling by infrastructure. But, like, you know, if I'm out riding down the country lanes or, you know, riding up a beautiful mountain road, there's never going to be a bike lane there. We have to learn to get along. And I just think that, I don't know, I just hope that by not inflaming the situation, somehow that can help. I don't know. What do you guys think? Basically, it's just currently me and Connor sat having a gentle debate about this. But genuinely, we would really, really like to know your thoughts on this. Have you noticed all of this stuff in the media ramping up? Have you noticed things ramping up on the road as well? And yeah, what do you think we can do about it? Oh, and lastly, there's very little aggro on gravel.
That is true. So if you do want to get away from it all, head to some gravel trails.
But be careful about cows, because they are more lethal than cyclists.
And dehydration.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
We are going to start cycling shorts, following on directly from that infamous pixelated photograph of Daniel Lloyd wearing his white cycling shorts. Because it turns out that big TV executives from ABC aren't too happy about their presenters wearing Lycra.
This is Good Morning America. Sorry, I've always wanted to say that. Anyway, this is Good Morning America's host, DeMarco Morgan. He's one of us, out for a spin and posting a few photos about it on the gram. Nothing wrong about that. We all do it.
We do. However, it started a little bit of controversy, hasn't it? Because the images of him are offensive and provocative.
Basically, the dude is wearing some green shorts, which are giving away the location of his junk. Some are saying that it isn't family friendly, but what's mad is that according to the New York Post, management at ABC's parent company, Disney, have asked him to remove the offensive photos. I can't get over this side. What on earth is going on in the world? The poor man just wants to ride his bike in Lycra. At the end of the day, no one gave Michael Phelps crap, did they, when he was in Speedos at the Olympics? So why is it controversial if it's cycling?
Well, I mean, that's a very good point. No one gave Michael Phelps any crap.
He's there on the starting blocks.
Yeah,
he's on the starting blocks, goggles on.
I mean,
junk on display.
There is an inherent risk to wearing lighter coloured Lycra.
There is.
Isn't it? It can be a bit more revealing, but also.
There is.
DeMarco, I'm sure you're watching, okay? This is right in our wheelhouse, so to speak. There is nothing wrong with wearing Lycra, but it is a good idea, before posing for photographs or talking to the camera, to do what is called in the very small cycling video industry, a sausage check. So basically just make sure before you start that you look like a Ken doll.
Yeah. That's pretty much what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're getting it from all angles a little bit at the moment.
We are indeed, yeah.
Imagine when the UK media realises that not only are we Lycra louts making the roads into death traps, but also doing it with our privates on show.
Well, that is true, yeah. I mean, the Telegraph is going to go wild with this one, isn't it? Cyclist doing 52 miles an hour and... Anyway, we'll say no more. Right, how about this, though, for a positive story?
Yeah, right, positive one.
Well, actually, people were really complimentary about DeMarco, I noticed, because I went through the comments. And obviously, since this news story broke, many more thousands of people have looked at his Instagram profile.
Yeah.
And he gets a lot more positive comments than we do.
It's proper cool. I mean, it's cool of someone in that position as well in America to be loving cycling.
Yeah,
so keep
totally.
It up. Keep it up.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, anyway, positive story. Spotted on GCN's website, who had picked up a report by Zedify about the benefits of cargo bike use.
Yep, the report highlighted a 95% reduction in CO2 emissions from cargo bike use compared to diesel vans for urban deliveries, which is pretty staggering. And what I found most interesting, though, is that they also found that if up to 7.5% of urban motorised traffic could be shifted to cargo bikes, this could have a greater impact than ceasing all domestic aviation emissions. So,
is that true?
That is true, according to this report. So big up the cargo bike.
Yeah. That's blown my mind, actually.
Small change can make a big difference.
Well, yeah, big change, I guess, in terms of, like, difference. That's crackers. There you go. Well, mind blown. Right, moving on. On the 1st of June, most of the cycling world looks to Kansas for the now iconic Unbound gravel event. It's the pinnacle of the gravel racing scene. However, for those of us without the ways, means, or simply the race entry, there is something else. Rebound.
Yeah, this idea came about during COVID when real events couldn't happen, so everyone went and did their own thing locally, and it's getting carried on. So, get planning. On the 1st of June, start at 6 a.m. in the spirit of Unbound. Do a 50-mile, 25, 50, 100 or 200-mile self-supported gravel route.
That's right. No fees, no time limits, just fun, and a mandatory post-race celebration. So there we go. Now, we are doing one, although we've got to do ours before the 1st of June in order to be able to make a video about it to tell you guys more about it. But anyway, I cannot wait. It's going to be wicked. So head over to rebound.cc for more info and to register your ride, or in fact, to join others. There's stacks on there already, actually. But get involved. I think this is a cool initiative.
Yeah, I really like this idea. I mean, I can join you, though. Can I not say?
After what happened to you actually at Unbound last year?
What do you mean?
I mean, yeah, in a bad way. I'm not sure I can make it to the Oasis. I'm starting to get a bit scared.
Oh, it's going to take a long time to live down that one.
Yeah, about as long as it took you to actually do Unbound.
Okay, all right, okay, right. Moving on. This very neat little bit of tech is launching soon.
Yes, that's right. So if you are looking to grab an e-bike, but were maybe put off by the price, that barrier has just got a whole lot lower. So this little Gizmos kit here is made by a brand called Switch. They've been in the e-bike conversion game for a good few years now, actually, haven't they? And they've just launched their new Go kit, which is currently on pre-order for just £299 or $349. And it allows you to convert just about any bike into an e-bike for a bit of added power, basically.
Yeah, and this isn't some kind of Heath Robinson contraption. It's, of course, fully legal. The kit comprises of a front wheel with a hub-based motor and then a power pack, as is in front of me now, to provide the juice, and a sensor that mounts on the pedals so the motor only works when you're pedaling.
That's right, yeah. So it's still a road-legal pedal-assist bike. Which is cool, isn't it? So anyway, it's available for order, pre-order now, with delivery in September. That price, we're told, is like the early bird price, isn't it? So like once it's in stock, the price will go up a little bit. But if you pre-order it, then you get it for cheaper. So anyway, there you go. Head over to switchbike.com for more information.
Yeah, and that's Switch with a Y, that is.
Yeah.
Now, this is the sort of thing, I mean, to be honest, I'm looking at this. I'm like, I need one.
Yeah.
Because the climb home from work, it's not getting any easier.
No.
It's not. And sometimes I just would like a bit of a helping hand after a long day. But, you know, even with all this, I still wouldn't get the KOM from Feather, would I?
No.
I don't think I would.
No.
I
don't think you would. And I mean, there's a limit, isn't there? Like, to how many wheels you can fit on your bike. Perhaps if you had a trike.
I was expecting, you were supposed to say you would, Connor. Like, you're just, I'm nearly there. I'm not that bad. Am I?
I mean, I'd like to say it's just Feather's that good, Connor, basically. I mean, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because, like, you could put it on, like, a fast road bike, and then you've literally just got a 250-watt motor on the front, just going full gas.
You would, yeah. Oh, I still think Feather would smash me. I think he'd take it.
I mean, I think he would.
Yeah.
The man's an animal.
Yeah, fair enough.
We should find out what happens if we put one of these on Andrew Feather's bike. Can you imagine how fast would a motor-powered twig go?
Well,
answers on
there
postcards.
We go.
Get involved in the comment section. Right, now moving on. Last week, SRAM launched their hotly anticipated new Red Access group set. We've got a full video of the group set up on the channel, but a feature of it was that it was developed in tandem with a new Hammerhead Karoo head unit, because SRAM bought Hammerhead a few years ago, and it's basically been developed, right from the ground up, I think. However, on the same day as that announcement, Wahoo also announced new integration with SRAM's new groupset as well, which allows you, similarly, to control the head unit's menu buttons through the bonus buttons on the shifters.
Yeah, it's quite handy, this, I think. If you're trying to change pages mid-effort, or maybe you aren't as confident taking your hands off the bars, faster speeds to scan through your computer from your data fields, you know, going from like power data to your maps, does make things a bit easier.
It does, yeah. It's something that Race and the DR2 group sets have had for a while, isn't it? And it is pretty cool. You just got to choose what you want your bonus buttons to do, because they can do smart lights as well, can't they?
Yeah.
They can just change gear for you, which is another one. What do you want your bonus buttons to do, mate? Are you an extra gear changing place kind of a man?
I think I'm just like getting to my maps so I can like focus on eating while I'm riding and I just, you know, change through and be scrolling while I'm eating.
So what you want?
Drinking. I do a lot of drinking.
A bonus button that deploys like a robot arm that just feeds you.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, that'll be better.
Right, SRAM, if you're listening, that's on Connor's wish list.
Yeah.
Right, sticking with tech for a moment. Do not forget that our competition to win a pair of Pirelli's brand new P0 TLR RS tyres is still ongoing. These are like the super duper extra fast tyres that are lighter, lower on resistance, and I can't remember what the puncture protection was. There's a video about them coming out on GCN Tech this weekend, actually. So
basically, they're blooming fast, I think.
They are blooming fast.
They've been taking racks of wins already this year in the World Tour.
I see it, Little Trek have been on them, haven't they? Yeah. So Jonathan Milan has been...
Bosh of the Giro, 3 wins so far.
I think that's the noise he made, actually, wasn't it?
Bosh.
Yeah. Right, anyway, you lot have got until Friday to enter that competition, and you can find the link to that competition in the description below. So 3 people can win this one, and we will announce all the winners on next week's show. Connor, before we leave Cycling Shorts, we should do a bit of a shout-out to our Italia collection.
That is
we?
Correct, yeah.
You were looking good in that one. Yeah. Suits you, that one.
I'm loving it. I mean, I'm very pink, but I do like a bit of pink.
We've
got plenty of clothing like this in the GCN shop, shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com for all your Italian-themed goodies. We're rocking it.
Yeah, you're looking very sharp. It's kind of contrasting with the slightly dishevelled, like...
I'm feeling a bit dishevelled. I've been trying to put in a lot of training recently. I've got a big challenge coming up this week, which you're going to be able to watch very soon on GCN. But the shaving's taken a back seat.
That's what Jan Ulrich used to do. He only used to shave on rest days.
Did he? Yeah.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, because shaving took too much effort, so he wouldn't shave until a rest day. So there you go. It's like, worked for Jan, didn't it?
Yeah, I always felt like when I shaved, I was bad the next day. I just wanted,
There you go, mate.
Yeah, I felt like, I don't know what happened, but took something from me.
Well, if Connor ends up looking like Forrest Gump in a few weeks' time, you'll know why, but you'll be flying. It's not just the clothing either, is it? Head over to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. We've got some mega Camelback water bottles. In fact, we've got one here. Yeah. So these are our limited edition Italia-themed water bottles. That is cool, though, isn't it? I like that very much.
Yeah, I had to look at Ollie with 2 of these in his bike from the eating challenge video I did a while back. When he fueled absolutely perfectly. I had this ridiculous breakfast, Ollie's fueled to perfection. He's sipping away on his nicely measured out bottles. He's dumped me in this one, hasn't he?
What did he put in yours? Baked beans or something?
I was just on water from then on. Lots of water. I drank 8 of those. First 2 hours, I was that thirsty.
Just kept
out of it. Kept to stop to refill water.
Your kidneys, they must have been in
bits. Don't say it to me. I've been on a good old health vibe since then.
There you go, mate.
Lots of beans, lots of pulses. It's been good.
Good man, good man.
Right then, it's time for hack / bodge. Starting off with this submission by Alexander68. An alternative use for a bike stand. Upon returning from last week's glorious summer ride, I found my son and put on my bike stand to good use, complete with somewhere to place his drink. Wow, I missed out on a drink spot.
That does look quite good, doesn't it?
It's really good, actually.
Fair play to him, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm doing this in the garden next time I need a brolly.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to guess that was from here in the UK because most other countries, people would have a sun umbrella to hand, whereas we've just got one to just stave off rainstorms. But there we go. No, that's cool. I'm going to say hack for that one.
Yeah, that's a hack. It's very stable.
Yeah, next one. We got this one from Robert Moore. I like this, mate, even though it features a zip tie.
Oh.
Right, okay. So broken bottle cage zip tie repair. Robert says, I was about halfway around my 250-mile multi-day trip when my bottle cage snapped. Probably my own fault, he says, because I hadn't left much room to get the bottles out from under the frame bag. Yeah, somebody got to watch that. Anyway, so Robert's fix was he heated the end of a tiny screwdriver on my multi-tool with a lighter and made a hole either side of the brake. I then used a zip tie to hold the bottle cage together, made it over the next 100 plus miles with no issues. And like, when you look at that, so for podcast listeners, but you can barely see the join, and it looks so neat. Plus, Robert has trimmed the end off his zip tie, so it's less of a health hazard. I like that very much.
That is a big hack. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Even the use of fire to make this roadside hack work.
Yeah, it's not often you get a hack with fire. That's a very good point, actually.
Yeah, that is big time.
And so, it wasn't just a multi-tool, it was a Leatherman. So that's got a knife as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's giving me all sorts of vibes. I'm loving it.
Yeah, so proper survivalist stuff.
Yeah.
No, I like that very much. The question, because those of you will be like, well, it's got a zip tie, surely it's a botch. The question is what Robert did next. So if 3 years on, there is still a zip tie holding his bottle cage together, I'd have to say I think that might be a bodge. But given that it got him home, then I think it's a hack.
I think carry on using the zip tie. I think keep on going with it. It's a hack from me.
You wait, mate. When you get a massive, like, 4-inch gash down your calf muscle from an aggressively ended zip tie, don't come crying to me, mate. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Okay, moving on. This is from Jay DeCenzo. Park tool microphone. After stage 14 of the Giro, I spotted this park tool microphone holder catching an interview with a Maglia Rosa. This is a big spot.
It is a big spot. It's like it's been photoshopped. So someone is basically like threatening Tadej Pogacar with what looks like a pedal spanner. Jay has said it's a Park Tool MH14, and unfortunately I'm not familiar with that. I'm going to have to Google it. I wonder what Tadej thought when someone stuck a spanner in his face. Do you think he was a bit like...
How'd the stage go today?
Yeah.
So it's your opinion or...
Hang on a minute, I'm too interested. What is a Park Tool MH14? Bear with us.
I like, at the face of it, this looks like an incredible hack, but I'm going to counter and say it's a bodge. Because of all the things to hold a microphone with, you'd want to pick the lightest one possible. And I feel like a spanner is quite heavy. So, you know, 5 minutes of that, and quickly those biceps, they're going to be crying out for help.
I get that. I mean, a pedal spanner's not massive. MH14.
Try holding out something slightly heavy really far in front of you.
I can't find an MH14. Do you mean the HR14 hex wrench? Because it's not that. Or possibly the 14mm metric wrench?
It looks like just your classic pedal spanner.
I think it's a pedal spanner, yeah. Mm. Anyway. I'm going to say...
It's a tricky one.
It is.
I do like seeing these kind of... because with the microphones now where they're portable, I'm seeing it all the time on social media, ingenious ways people clip them to things.
I like it. I think that's a hack, personally.
Go on then, we'll give it a hack.
Yeah.
It's your biceps, not mine.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, well, with my biceps, as you know, I can pretty much do anything I want.
Okay, you keep believing that.
Next up, we got this one from Robbo100. A bespoke 3D printed bib short hanger. Okay, this is like one of those things where you kind of think maybe having a 3D printer has gone to your head. So Robbo said, I've got tired of stuffing my bib shorts in a drawer and having to dig them out from all the other cycling kit. So I decided to 3D print some bespoke hangers which work perfectly. Robbo says that he's also the guy that made the Zwift controller on GCN Show episode 516. I remember that one, Robbo. I mean, that is a very lovely looking coat hanger, and I love the fact that you have printed a bicycle in the middle of it. I can't help but think that you basically just made a coat hanger.
Yeah, pretty much. It is annoying, to be fair, when you put your bib shorts on a normal hanger and they like slip off the sides.
Do you put bib shorts on hangers?
No, look at me. Does it look like I fold clothes at home?
I mean, I love a drawer. I love going like, there's my clean washing, poof, in the drawer. Because, you know, I mean, obviously I don't fold stuff or iron stuff much anyway. But one of the nice things about bib shorts is they don't need ironing or folding. They can't get creased. Just stuff them in.
I don't like to admit this, but it's one of the battles me and my mother-in-law have, because she folds things when we visit, and she almost folds the cycling shorts. And I'm like, you don't need to fold them.
How does she fold a cycling short?
I don't know. Like, I don't know how she does it, but it's always so neat and like folded pristinely.
To be fair, Lloydie, I think, folds his cycling shorts. Like, he rolls them up. He's got a special technique, yeah. But then Dan also irons his pants. So American viewers, with undercrackers. So, yeah.
I could not make a hanger for my bib shorts, so I'm going to give it a hack.
It's 3D printed, and we do have rules, don't we?
And I love the bike on the kind of centrepiece.
Go on, then. Robbo.
We'll give it a hack.
It's a hack from us.
Keep them coming, Robbo. Let's see what you can make next.
Yeah, what can you 3D print next? Maybe like a...
Throw the gauntlet out to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'd like? Like a... bespoke, like a bespoke gel case, or maybe a bespoke banana case.
Really?
I thought it just came to my head, and I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah, all right. Romo. I mean, I don't know what people would think you're printing if you print a banana case, but anyway, that's what Connor wants.
We'll send one to Good Morning America. Yeah.
Oh, my word. Yeah, okay, let's move on. Please keep your hacks and bodges coming. You can upload them via the uploader. You can find it on the GCN website, or indeed, the link is under this video. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below. We'll pick a winner next week. Results last week, and we did indeed have some pithy entries.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. There were some bangers, though. And we have only one winner who gets the bottle. Goes to Clement Souligod. Try with, "I'm sorry you didn't win, honey. What a pithy."
There you go. For anyone wondering what on earth we're banging on about, that's Lawrence Pithy, isn't it?
It is Lawrence Pithy. Yeah.
Top pro cyclist for FDJ. And he is having, well, I don't know, is that like, well, we don't know.
We don't know.
There's a young woman who could be consoling him. She could be giving him, like, a kiss. She could, you know, whatever. Anyway.
Could be eating his ear.
Oh, dude.
You never know.
Oh, she could, yeah.
You never know.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I've been watching Baby Reindeer this week and it's like throwing me into a pithy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't even go there. Right, anyway, moving on.
We need to move on.
Yeah, this is the photo we're going to give you this week. For those of you who are listening to the show, it is Tadej Pogačar on his way to his stunning stage victory from Sunday, being chased by a topless man. Can I have a go at this one?
Go on, then.
Dan Lloyd's running looks like it's coming on well.
There we go. Come on.
There you go. It also looks like Dan might be four times larger in this photo than he is in real life. I think if Dan was running naked towards the camera, we probably wouldn't see him. Like a little stick man.
Pogačar is solving the problem of fans running next to riders just by the fact he's going up these climbs so fast.
That's a good point, actually.
No one could keep up with him.
That's amazing, yeah. Maybe that was his motivation.
Yeah. Just get ahead of it all.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the fans look happy, don't they?
They do, they're having a great time.
Above the snow line, naked.
For all of 10 metres.
There you go. Right, anyway, if you think you can beat my caption, and I suggest you can, then get involved in the comment section down below, and we will pick a winner next week.
Right then, time for comment of the week. Starting off with last week's GCN show. This was sent in by 01 Fozzy S. Total hack or bodge intro fail by these two rookies. You guys forgot the arm slashing. Sorry, I'm sorry, Si.
Bloody hell, mate.
I think we did it on one take, and then maybe I'm like, it was the cameraman's fault.
Was it?
Yeah.
You forget to press record or something?
Yeah, it was cameraman's fault.
Yeah, okay. To be fair, it took me a long time to find this comment, because all the others were about how much they love you and Malon presenting the GCN show, and I couldn't put any of those in, so I had to find that one. Underneath is Cycling Bad for Women's Sexual Health, which is a video that Manon presented last week, where she interviewed a gynecologist, basically, and cyclist about a lot of the issues that women face when cycling, many of which I did not know about. Cracking video that. Jane Flake said, "This was wonderful to hear, a serious scientific look at female anatomy in relation to sport. Not only was this reassuring, it was also informative." And Ab said, "Thanks for including us postmenopausal women, Manon. Cycling doesn't stop at 50. Maxine 6828 said, "Wow, many of these questions have been bothering me for so long and I did not dare ask anyone I know about it. Thank you so much, this video." The comments just went on and on and on. So it's super cool. Yeah. Well done, Manon,
yeah,
for that one.
Yeah, top-notch, Manon. And in experience versus power, when Si tried to defeat the world's strongest cyclist, plenty of comments under this one. I just can't get over the difference between the two, even the thumbnail.
I mean, because you look at me in real life and you think, like, that guy's stacked. And then when you see me next to him, you're like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, in all serious, you're not actually, like, super skinny, like, ridiculous. Yeah, there's some sort of muscle to you.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Something a bit more than me. But what we learned said, imagine the joy of being in this dude's draft. It's true. I need to recruit him.
It's true. It was the fact that I let him ride away from me, basically. So even though there's an incredible draft behind him, I couldn't hold his wheel. Philip Cooper said, Simon, I have fatter ankles than a bodybuilder Richardson. Well, I mean, there was only, like, it's not often, like, bits of a 6'5" bodybuilder you can claim that you've got bigger than, you know?
And Karas whipped cracked minion on the theme of today's show, actually. He said, what do angry motorists say to Jamie?
That is a good point. It would be a brave individual.
Would be quite brave. Stop. Imagine taking on a gladiator. Off the cuff.
I mean, like, because he's that, like, distinctive. He was getting stopped everywhere by people just wanting photos. Even literally, like when we were filming the conclusion outside Mackie D's, literally, like, cars would come past and kids would be like, ah! And then they'd
drive
off.
That's mega. That's unreal. Cool.
So I don't think he gets any hassle somehow. Andy Hank's video where he took a recumbent to a bike race, Jonathan Park said, I reckon Hank should spend the summer doing miles on it as his main bike, then repeat the time trial. I'm not sure what Hank would have to say about that. Like, well, I think he enjoyed it, but like...
we'll make him do it anyway.
Yeah. Also, it wouldn't change the results in terms of like power to speed, would it? I don't think he needs to do that, Robert. Jonathan, rather. You just want to see how much better he can get.
We just want to see Hank suffer.
Ah, fair.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm down with that. And then...
Mac Nud,
what do they have to say?
2023, this should be UCI legal in time... should be UCI legal, yeah. Legal in time trials, have an open class and a restricted class.
What was it? Legal or illegal?
I just said, I don't know which one I said in the end. And then I was like, I better say it again. And for some reason, I said it again. Anyway, starting from the top, this should be UCI legal in time trials. Have an open class and a restricted class for the old rules. Unleash the science.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the science is there, isn't it? Because people race these things all the time.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen the, like, human-powered vehicle race at Battle Mountain in the States every year? I mean, that thing is nuts, isn't it? It's like 90 mile an hour they go.
Yeah, it's
in those things. So, yeah, 100%, that still exists.
Imagine throwing that into the Tour de France.
Oh, imagine Pogacar on one of those.
Recumbent stage. Everyone holds your horses.
Oh, that'd be absolutely bonkers, wouldn't it? There we go. Right. In terms of what's coming up on GCN this next week, Connor, talk us through.
So on Wednesday, we have Why You Should Care About Your Average Speed, which is kind of a metric that does give you a lot of information to pay attention to. On Thursday, we have a new product launch.
We do. It's another big one, actually. Yeah, this one.
Friday, this top coach says Zone 2 is wasting your time.
Yeah. And he's not just a top coach, he is one of the biggest coaches, basically one of the Norwegian school. It's Olaf Alexander Bo, and it was mega to chat to him. So that's one of those like long, in-depth coaching chats. So I hope you enjoy that one. Make sure you watch it. Saturday, we talked about earlier, it's our rebound video. So I'm basically going to go for a bike ride.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without me.
Well, you've got someone else to do this weekend.
I do have something else I'm really excited about. I'm saving the legs. I'm on a taper week.
You going to tell him?
Yeah, so I'm actually heading off to the Tuscany Trail. 470K long. It's the world's biggest bikepacking event. There's nearly 5,000 people do it, actually. So, yeah, I'm into cycling, heaven, paradise. But also, it is going to be quite a tough challenge, too, to try and like get through it in the time that I want to do it in. And I'm looking forward to kind of testing myself once more.
Man, I'm so jealous. Tuscany, I'm pretty sure a GCN presenter's been to Tuscany already, haven't they?
Yeah, I can't remember if they said where they were at the time.
Tuscany, of Tuscany, Tuscany, Tuscany,
and Tuscany, and Tuscany,
Tuscany.
No, funny that. And then on Sunday, I'm very excited about this one. So Alex and Ollie have been to the Human Powered Health Laboratory in Boston in the US. They've both been put through their paces. Both of them were very annoyed. They weren't allowed to eat for 10 hours before going to this thing.
Oh, really?
That's pretty savage, isn't it? Especially with like jet lag. Anyway, so basically the idea being to analyse ex-pro versus elite amateur. What's actually the difference and who's the fittest?
Gosh.
Who's your money on?
Who's the fittest? I'm going to say Ollie, actually.
Really? Well, yeah. Fitness in what way? Because this is what's going to be interesting. I think they've done a deep dive into loads of different aspects.
Yeah, I think Alex still gets him on intensity. But Ollie's smashing it on the long stuff.
He is,
I mean,
yeah.
I literally sat on his wheel the entire time when I had this massive breakfast and we tried to ride home. It was pretty staggering.
I mean, the amount that he laughed at you when you were eating your breakfast, you deserve to sit on his wheel.
I was the one time in my life I sat on someone's wheel the whole day and not felt guilty about it at all. Just plotting my revenge the whole time.
Let me know what it is, mate.
Yeah.
It's a dish best served cold, unlike your breakfast.
Okay.
Right. That brings us to the end of the GCN show, I think, for this week, doesn't it?
Yep. Thanks for having us.
As in the viewers.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Give the show a like if you've enjoyed it, please. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week. I'll be out in Tuscany.
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 Tuscany. Tuscany. Tuscany.
Tuscany.
Tuscany. Tuscany. Tuscany. Tuscany. Tuscany.